May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I had wondered whether I might preach on Brexit today, but the signs of the time didn't seem very favourable, and the media are so full of it. Even 50-odd bishops were having obvious problems about what to say. And I've chickened out, but have drawn inspiration from the old-fashioned signpost outside County Hall, which seems to point in every possible political direction and is misleading in the extreme because it points nowhere. And last week, I had to travel to a very remote West Berkshire village to meet some church people who are looking for, guess what, a new vicar. And it was remarkable that I actually found it after driving along a single track road for 3 or 4 miles in total darkness. It seemed to me a miracle that I got there without a sat nav, but with a memorized map and the aid of signposts. However, these are two characteristics of these, nor all other signs, I want to emphasize. First of all, signs or maps, including your average sat-nav, always point away from where you are. Signs point away from themselves. They point in a particular direction. They direct us on our journey further on from the point where we are. And secondly, signs always point to something of significance, significance, which is exactly what you would expect if you stopped to think about it. Today, we have an important signpost from John's Gospel. It's the first of his so-called signs. And as you might expect, it's not the wedding which is important. It is Jesus to whom the sign is pointing. It's the first event in the life of Jesus that John, our gospel writer, considers particularly significant after the launch of Jesus' ministry. And the reason for this particular story's significance this Sunday is that it reveals something of who Jesus is. As John puts it, it reveals his glory. In that, it is quite miraculous by showing us something of God's glory, who God is. And the curtain is partially lifted on who Jesus is, and this is the theme for this season. This is the Epiphany, the manifestation season, the showing forth of the person of Jesus. And as John completes this episode, we learn that the disciples believed in him. In other words, they saw things with the eye of faith and discovered his significance. They didn't just see him as an ordinary human being. This episode showed them, in the way it was symbolically told, the mystery of the person Jesus. It was the beginning of the map of Jesus' life. And John's Gospel continues with the build-up of several signs pointing to Jesus' significance and culminating in the execution on the cross, which is seen by the disciples' eye of faith as the ultimate sign, the revelation of God's glory. Good Friday and Easter Day were in his thoughts from the very beginning. But let's unwrap a little of our present story and its significance in a kind of meditative way. If you look at the story, you see that it happens on the third day. And that immediately raises the meditative temperature. What else happens on the third day but the resurrection to new life? Here is a sign of new life and what it means. We don't just have a simple story, we have echoes of what the revelation of the Word made flesh, Jesus, means. And Jesus is also present in this instance with Mary, just as she was in the final sign at the foot of the cross and later at the resurrection. Mary, his mother, a personal prophetic sign, triggers the episode and challenges Jesus to do something. She who always said yes, but he, quite naturally, is reluctant to plunge into his public ministry, knowing its potential outcome. However, Jesus takes the 6 stone water jars containing huge amounts, 256 cases of wine, far more than any reasonable wedding reception might be expected to drink. The significance of this may be that we here have a parable, a story of significance, of the messianic kingdom. What could be more appropriate for our heavenly destiny than picturing it as a successful wedding feast in which we all join in that feast of the kingdom of God? It's no wonder that at Cana, Jesus has such large stone water jars for this event. The gift of God's wine, the wine of the kingdom, was generous beyond belief. But these water jars have more significance. They are also used for Jewish purificatory rites. They are filled with water, which is transformed into wine. Jewish purification rites give way to the revelation of the new wine of Jesus' glory, his grace. For Christians, that new wine, that grace, is a generous symbol of God's love, which we celebrate and receive today in the Eucharist. The old Jewish rites point onward to Jesus, the new wine of salvation. Jesus is definitely someone new on the map. The wine is then served, but its origin is a secret, a mystery. The word is the same as sacrament in Greek, which is known to the ordinary servants or slaves, but not to the guests or the steward of the feast. These ordinary servants are the ordinary servants of Christ, Christians of the lower social order in the early church. They know the mystery of salvation. And we too, as servants of God, can spot the significance of all this. As post-resurrection people, we can see the echoes and the significance of the person of Jesus who comes to us as the new wine of our Eucharist, today and every day. John gives his readers and us much to reflect on, but we're still left with a challenge. Where are we going? Can we read the signs? They are pointing away from ourselves. They are pointing to God, to other people. What are we aiming for? And today's celebration gives us a few clues which enable us to see the significance of life. We see it in our gospel reading as we discover who Jesus is, the human face of God, seen with the eye of faith. We see it in our prayers as we connect with our daily resurrection lives, bringing our concerns, and there are many, to God in faith. We see it in our fellowship together at the peace as we eat and drink in Jesus' name, receiving the wine of hope, the cup of salvation as we gather around the altar. We see it as we receive his empowerment to go out and discover signs of his glory in our weekday lives as we go about our own city. So, look out for God's signposts in your daily lives this week. It may be confusing at first. Cana and Oxford can be confusing places. But with time and trust or faith, any strange city becomes clear, and you will too be able to see the signs of God's glory and generosity bursting through your lives. They may only be small indications, but to him be thanks and praise in word and sacrament, now and always. Amen.